Good afternoon, everyone. It is time now for our May edition of Campus Connection. I'm joined here in the studio by Petersburg School District's Superintendent Erica Kluepainter. We will be talking about what's coming up in the school board meeting tonight and any other topics that the district is dealing with right now. You can hear me okay, Erica?
I can.
Okay.
Can
you
hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, great.
Wait, actually, no. Need to turn on your mic there.
Okay.
So the meeting is tonight at 6. It's a regular meeting. So KFSK will be broadcasting the meeting and people can participate. They can comment at the meeting, but they need to do that by joining the Ring Central teleconference.
Yes. Right? Yep. We'll be in the library. The board will be there and admin and myself. But if anybody wants to, email or get the link or just call in and we'll let you in there. Mara will hook you up if anybody wants to get on.
Okay.
Yeah.
As expected, I suppose this time of year, there's a lot on the agenda, that spring push. And so the board's going to be hearing about a budget revision for this year. That's kind of a normal thing to happen this time of year. Right?
It is. It is. And actually, it's a very, very minimal budget revision and probably almost small enough that we don't necessarily need to do one. But it's a good practice to go through it, I think, and that's what Karen and I were just talking about actually last week a little bit, that it's nice to just finally comb through everything because it's been such a strange year just with funding and, the way it's kind of gone down and working with federal dollars and state dollars that are additional and working with the borough, allocation and CARES Act and all of that. So it's been good. So, excellent stewardship as our amazing Karen always does. And so it's a pretty minimal revision, which is good. And then we're planning to be able to present the budget in June for the following year, and still don't have our allocation yet on the American Rescue Plan, but lots of requirements of things that we need to do to be able to receive the money. So we're working through that. So I'll be giving kind of an update on that tonight too, just with some dates and deadlines and opportunities for feedback from stakeholders and families and, people, just about what they see with their own kids and what their, things that have gone well, things that they wish had gone better, just concerns that they have going into the school year. So I think it'll be a good process. So people will be able to stay tuned for probably some different virtual links that we'll do, and just being able to get some feedback from people about what they want to see next year. So,
okay. So I was seeing that in the packet for the school board meeting tonight. And it looks like the federal funding, then they have these requirements, like you say, mm-hmm. It just, the timeline, I mean, I know you deal with this every year, but the timeline, it's like, it just seems so much to do before the fall.
Yeah.
And then, having a plan in place, it's said by June 23rd, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so you need to pretty much have all the details worked out. Excuse me. They want you to be able to announce by June 23rd to the public,
right,
what those details are.
Mm-hmm.
How far along are you on that? I mean, do you know? Because I know everything's changing day to day here, it seems like.
Yeah.
But the district is pretty secure on protocols, right?
Mm-hmm.
For the fall?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think, we've been more fortunate than many districts because we've had most of our year, in person. We've had a few, disruptions and that sort of thing. But overall, we've been in person more than most. So we've learned, some good things during that and, what that might look like in the fall. Of course, as you say, things continue to change and evolve. There's now, as of yesterday, approval for vaccination for 12 years, kids 12 years old and up. So that adds another kind of layer for people to consider, out there. It's not a requirement in the district, but of course it's a, it's another factor that families can consider and that the districts may be considering as things go forward, not as a requirement, but what does it mean to protocols in classrooms and, protocols for travel and, all of those kinds of things. So we continue to, adapt and adjust, policies and procedures as things evolve with the pandemic, so that's kind of how it's been, right, for really over a year now. So we continue to do that. So I think we'll have as many details as we can. We'll probably have the plan, you know, laid out similarly to what has worked this year, things that we have found that have worked this year that have been helpful to us and have worked well. And I think there will be more information coming about, you know, probably expanding things maybe with antigen testing in the schools beyond even activities. There's a kind of a push for that right now, which is why we're also looking to be able to use some of the funding that's coming for a school nurse this year. And we'll be posting that actually probably today or tomorrow.
A new position.
Yep. Through that's part of some of this, you know, rescue funding. It's actually a separate allocation of money that's just designated for things to do with screening and testing, basically as a large category for schools to reopen safely and stay open safely. So that will be great because I sometimes feel like I wear that hat a little bit this year too, because there's a lot of confidentiality things related to, of course, to testing and if there's positive cases and that sort of thing. So, you know, we don't have a lot of people that have access to lists and all of that. So, you know, I've gotten to be pretty good friends with Erin Michael, as I already was before, but, you know, anyway, so she's been a great partner. But, you know, I'd be happy to have an actual medical professional, you know, managing.
I bet. I mean, because this past year has been so much medical stuff.
Yeah.
That you are dealing with. And I mean, you're an educator, you know, you were a teacher, principal, superintendent, and
this wasn't in all my training. So no, so I've learned a lot. And of course we've had great support from medical center staff and, you know, and actually a lot of support from Department of Health and Social Services in our state. We're very lucky that way. You know, we have direct access to, you know, if I have a question for Dr. Zink, I can email her and get on a Zoom call. You know, we just had a big meeting with them again last week. So we're pretty fortunate that way. We're spread out, but we're small, we can have access to, you know, a lot of people, and they're very willing and interested in whatever they can do, you know, and answering questions. They'll, you know, if people even in the community here, if they wanted to have their own sort of question and answer kind of session about, you know, vaccinations or whatever, they'll help us, you know, set up a panel for something like that. If people, just community people in general, you know, or through the radio station or whatever, you know, just to try to get information out, and information that I don't always have the answers to, you know, that's kind of out of my wheelhouse. So
like, take vaccinations, for example, you know, how do you as a superintendent or even approach that, in terms of the campus? You know, right. I know, parents, parents of grade school kids got an email because I guess there had been some requests of, you know, hey, I want my kid in with a staff person that's vaccinated. Mm-hmm. And then this email said, by the way, we can't do that. Right. You know, we can't, it's a privacy issue, I guess.
Right.
So, you know, mm-hmm. So knowing that, like, how does the school district approach vaccinations as they're coming more and more available? I mean, maybe by the fall, who knows, it'll be even younger kids than 12, but how do you make those decisions? Are you leaning on the state health people like Dr. Zink and then local health officials here,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
for like what that would mean in terms of activities at the school district,
right.
and how you are going about day to day?
Yeah, exactly. And that's what we're, you know, when we do meet with staff from DHSS or others, you know, those are the kinds of questions that we ask as educators, because of course our goal is to be open, stay open, and have a, you know, a functional and robust educational opportunity for all of our kids. And so that's our primary focus. But of course we spent a lot of time on this, you know, these topics. So trying to wind our way through that, there's no absolute answers. You know, we are able to take information the best that we can. They make a lot of recommendations, as we keep finding, you know, the CDC makes recommendations, DHSS makes recommendations. They don't necessarily say you absolutely have to do this or you absolutely can't do this, you know, that kind of thing. So we often err on the side of, you know, probably being more conservative than not, especially as we've wound our way through this. Doing the antigen testing with our activities this spring has given us a nice picture, I think, into maybe some windows into what that could mean in our school. Like, if that were to expand somewhat, you know, does that open up some opportunities to maybe have, you know, less masking or, you know, whatever those things look like. And so those are questions that we continue to ask at the state level as well. You know, what does it look like, you know, moving forward? And are there ways that things could be relaxed, you know, in certain areas? Or if you end up, you know, what is the percentage of, you know, adults that are vaccinated or even children that are vaccinated, you know, however that rolls out? It sounds like the efficacy rate for children, at least in their trials so far, seem pretty high as far as the, you know, protection for kids. So it seems positive, you know, overall. So I think these next few months are going to actually be pretty telling, you know, in maybe what that might look like. And if a community is pretty low risk overall with numbers, you know, what does that mean for a school? I think it's positive for us. I think that, you know, I think that hopefully means we could be, you know, looking at things being a little more, I hate that word normal, but that's the word.
Yeah. You know, what is that threshold? Like maybe there will be a, you know, if there's this much, if this percentage of the community that's vaccinated, this could happen. Right. But it's interesting because there's all the privacy too. You can't just ask students and their families if they're vaccinated. Mm-hmm. It just has to be kind of like this whole community percentage, it seems like.
Mm-hmm. You know? Yep, exactly. And I think what we've been doing with some of our staff, per recommendation that's come out the last few months, you know, for travel and that sort of thing, there's some things that have been, you know, stated about that. You know, are there things that you can do differently as far as a quarantine when you come back if you've been fully vaccinated? Are there things that you can do differently in your smaller bubbles or whatever? You know, they've talked about that with CDC coming out with different recommendations for that. If you're in a room, you know, with, I don't know, everybody that's been vaccinated, what does that mean? You know, that kind of thing. So I do think those things are going to keep evolving as they research it more and find out, you know, what does happen when you have most of the people around that are vaccinated. You know, what does that mean? And what does it mean for transmission rates? And those are all, I mean, stuff like that. So those are just things that I don't know the answers to, but we take the information the best we can and try to adjust and modify, you know, as we go along. Because as people say, you know, well, if we get vaccinated, what changes, you know, or if we're doing more testing, what changes? Well, hopefully some of those protocols can change, you know, and be
so adjusted. In theory, maybe the school board's travel return to school travel policy or protocols where it requires students and staff to quarantine for 5 days and also have a negative test result, say if said student or staff was vaccinated, then perhaps that could change.
I think that there's things that could change with all the way down through students at that point. You know, that's definitely what they're telling us as far as adults who are. So I don't see why that couldn't be adjusted, you know, for people. And so that helps if people are making decisions about leaving town and what does it look like and, you know, all of that. And it's helpful for people. There's been some, also the flip side of that though is that you know, disruptions, we've become very accustomed to actually things going along pretty well, you know, other than that kind of awful few weeks there in February, March, where things went off the rails, you know, kind of in our community, I guess, overall. But, you know, so those disruptions, and I think that's why people are making some of those requests, you know, too, because people don't, you know, parents especially really don't want to see that disruption for their child's learning. So, you know, it becomes that question too, you know, and people really following, being really aware of those symptom-free policies. That's for everybody. You know, if you're not feeling well, you know, how do we handle that? And people do a pretty good job of that. I mean, I think people are pretty aware of it, more aware than they used to be about things like that. And so, you know, it's just, it's kind of that big, the big picture of trying to have the best continuity that we can and how do we make that happen, you know, for families and students.
And the bottom line is in-person schooling.
Yep, exactly. And we want that. And certainly that's what our families and, you know, our kids want too. So I think that if we just keep that primary goal, you know, as, and not just being in person, but, you know, having it be really continuous and consistent and, you know, that's the ideal. So I think as much as we can make that happen, whatever all the pieces and parts are, and people will have to make their decisions. And of course, families have some time, you know, to make those decisions as a family, you know, for their own children or whatever that looks like going into summer. So we'll see how that goes.
So knowing that things could completely change by August with, you know, recommendations from the state or federal health officials, and the vaccinations are becoming more available and all of that. Like right now, looking at the fall, the travel policy is still in place, return to school, and then masking and social distancing in all three schools. That's where we're at, right?
Yep, that's where we still are, you know. So we have, and as we've said all the way through, you know, we do our best to make some of those modifications for our littlest kids, but, you know, they do pretty darn well with it all too. And everybody's kind of used to that now, you know, within reason. So I think, like I say, I've if I'm crystal balling this whole thing, which who knows, you know, that's the game we play all year this year. But, you know, we'll probably start with those protocols in place. We've made those plans to have smaller class sizes already. You know, we've got things in place for that. But we're also expanding some of the offerings. For example, the middle and high school, you know, we lock things down pretty tightly with our pods of kids this year over there. That's especially the middle school is more like the elementary in that sense. You know, they were able to be. And we are planning to, you know, offer to bring back choir and, you know, put band back in the schedule, you know, so there, so those things are already in the works as well. You know, so we are hoping to have, a bit more of the offerings, more of the options for kids. That was challenging this year for everybody. So, you know, that's on the docket. And in order to do that though, at this point, we're still in that, we're a little bit in that middle ground, you know, how far will we be as a community with cases? How far will we be as a community with vaccinations? How far, what will change in the next 3 or 4 months, you know? So probably starting with some protocols in place, because that's more mixing of kids, just thinking about middle and high school, if we're doing more of those classes that way, you know. But I think things could change and adjust pretty quickly throughout the year, and I'm hopeful for that, you know.
Well, just band alone and choir, I mean, that's more available than than right now.
Yeah.
So it sounds like some opening. I mean, if the community stays in low risk and the district stays in low risk and that kind of thing.
Yep. Absolutely.
And then any other activities that might be available in the fall that aren't?
Well, I think we'll probably see, I think the hope would be that we would be able to expand and open up a little bit more of the middle school activities. You know, we did some different things this year, again, with kind of the pods, and did some different activities for kids, which kids liked. You know, we had cornhole tournaments and, you know, we did some other fun things. Lots of emphasis this year on Native Youth Olympics, which was awesome. Great activity, you know, and again, we've learned a lot about that too, you know, activities and how things can proceed in a way that's safe and functional. I mean, we're considering, you know, our spring activities are, we're considering, you know, allowing them to go to state, and we've not been able to do that up to this point. But, you know, because more districts are getting on board with testing, you know, we've found that if you have a good mitigation plan when you do travel someplace, it's not just the travel itself, but it's actually, you know, what you're doing on the plane, what you're doing in the airports, what you're doing when you get to a school, where are you staying, how much are you mixing with other people, you know, that kind of thing. So we've got pretty tight plans that way. So I think it's allowing us to feel more confident, you know, about doing those kind of activities, and other districts are getting on board with that too. And so it makes everybody feel a little bit more confident, minus some of the things that kind of came out of the regional event in Ketchikan.
Ketchikan wrestling, yeah. That was probably not what you were expecting.
No,
and,
that
you
was...
know, or wanting, of course.
Exactly. So that was, you know, that was, I think, a good wake-up call, maybe reminder, just, you know, plans are only as valid as they're implemented, you know, so you can have a beautiful plan written on paper, but if you're not following it, you know, it doesn't work very well, so.
But Petersburg athletes... They didn't get COVID. I mean,
they
went into a lot of other communities. It seems like almost everybody else, luckily, I mean, except for us, which was lucky for us.
Exactly. So we're feeling good about that. And, of course, Mr. Cabral has done such a great job of just working through those plans, putting them out there, working with coaches, working with parents, you know, working with kids. I mean, just a lot of communication about it, like in order to keep these things going and have these opportunities. And that's why I feel comfortable, you know, moving forward with having conversations about state, because I do, you know, I trust the work that's gone into those plans. I trust our coaches, you know, our kids are wanting, are very motivated, you know, to do it. So they get it. They're like, sure, we'll, you know, order in food or whatever it is that we need to do, you know, but in order to be able to go and participate.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? I think a lot of the kids are like, whatever I have to do to make this happen, I'll do. In terms of the flow of testing, I mean, I see testing as something that's completely different than last year. I mean, there wasn't testing available even outside of the school district, you know, on a local level at the hospitals, like everybody, the whole nation wanted tests and there weren't enough to go around. And now it's regular testing at the school district for activities. How's that flow? Does it seem just you have what you need or you will in the future? Because that could really, like you say, change things in the fall.
Yep, I think so. And that's a big push. That's where that other kind of separate pot of money is focused for the, you know, where we're looking at the nurse. That's the whole emphasis, that those are, that is a big push. So beyond activities, they really are wanting to have that availability for districts and for districts to come up with plans for that, so that, you know, again, you can look at whether it's continuity and consistency of programming, whether it's so the fewer disruptions of students having to be out or staff having to be out, that kind of thing. So, and then just having the information. And if, you know, if you, you can catch things sooner and earlier, you know, that's just helpful for everybody. So they're trying to make that, I think, really available to everybody, and encouraging people to do that, and then being able to look at protocols. You know, that's just another added benefit to it. And what could that look like? I think that it'll be interesting to see if we end up, you know, doing sort of larger scale testing, and of course working through that process with families and, you know, procedures and all that. But, you know, our high school kids that have done testing are just, it just, we've got a pretty good system for it. I mean, you can get through, we're up to about 50. I think that's what Mr. Cabral told me this morning, about 50 kids that we're doing twice a week, which is a pretty big chunk of kids. They've got it down. Two people can get through the kids in about an hour and a half. So, you know, if you tried to figure out what that might look like, you know, with maybe a larger numbers of kids and staff, you know, that I think it's doable. I think it's just, it's a matter of planning.
Yeah. I bet you are really looking forward to having a person dedicated to those kinds of things, you know, because that's a lot of effort for the school district to do all these things that you're not, that's, you know, not in your job description, I guess.
Exactly. And that's how the, you know, even this antigen testing, Mr. Cabral's trained to do it. Mr. Dormer is, I am. We've enlisted the help of Mr. Troutman, one of our retired science teachers. And, you know, so we try to, we pay him a little bit to come in and do some testing for us a couple times a week. And so, you know, we've worked through some bugs. I mean, I think we've got some things in place that could, you know, if we end up expanding it like we might, you know, that we've learned a few things, and you know, the kids are, like I said, the kids are great. I mean, they come right through. It's pretty quick. And again, they're pretty motivated because we have made some adjustments to their activities because of this. So, you know, there's some things that we've adapted our plans as we've, you know, as we've implemented the twice weekly testing. We don't require, you know, masking all the time, even if they're inside. We have some certain, you know, there's certain protocols for it still at certain times, but in, you know, if they're really active and doing whatever, they don't have to wear them. And if they're outside, we don't really require it anywhere out there either, you know, so they like that. Anything they can do to get away from masking, they're happy about. So
I was wondering about just that, you know, next year with if you take vaccinations and you take this regular rapid testing, that could change masking requirements. I would assume they might come out with different recommendations if those things are in place.
I think so. So that's kind of the approach. But like you said, the timeline of all this is really challenging, because even some of the things, I think we've tried to even forward some things or get information to you guys, and we'll get you more at the radio station and probably the paper too. You know, the state is in the same place. Like they're getting handed kind of a list of requirements, and they're trying to implement all of those in a very short amount of time, because their plan dictates what our next steps are. So they're trying to lay out those timelines. And, you know, like you said, June 23rd is coming. That's not very far. It's like 5 weeks. I mean, it's not very far. So we have a lot of stakeholder input to gather. We have a lot of things there. And you just think it's May and June. Oh my gosh. And people are so tired. I mean, they just are. It's been a challenging year and people are tired. We've worked hard to get where we are. And families are tired too. And people are tired, you know, so we'll do our best. We'll get it out there. And of course we'll do everything we can to get good feedback from people, but it's a tight timeline and we don't even have the allocation yet. So that also makes it challenging. You know, we've moved forward with hiring decisions because we have a solid budget and we know we have learned things this year that we think are important that we want to maintain, you know, whether it's class sizes or just things within that. Keeping those numbers down has been super important for lots of reasons, not just COVID, but, you know, addressing learning loss and all those things too. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's been different having my daughter in a smaller class. I mean,
yeah, that's right.
Kind of cool, I guess, you know. I mean, absolutely. It was 14 kids or something.
Mm-hmm.
You
know? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we, you know, those are things that are important regardless. So we're happy to be able to offer that, you know, moving forward as well. So we're just, yeah, it's a strange time, strange budget year too, just trying to make those decisions and do the hiring. And we've got lots of people to hire tonight. And you guys have.
I saw that list. The list and the agenda is extensive. Mm-hmm. There's lots of hires and then a lot of shuffling at the grade school.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Lots of movement. And I think we are finally at a full roster. I think we just finished our last teacher hire yesterday with a foreign language position in the high school. And so we're excited about that. And we've had some people who were hired under emergency certification through the Department of Ed this year that have decided to keep going forward with their training and so applied for jobs and have gone through the certification process there. And we've rehired, you know, several people that were on those temporary contracts. So
yeah, I recognize the names, you know, some of them.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's exciting.
Yeah. And then before we go, we should touch on graduation because mm-hmm. that's right around the corner. From what you've talked about before, it looks like there will be an in-person graduation just for family in the gym, mm-hmm, right? And then mm-hmm. a community-wide mm-hmm. parade,
yes.
Vehicle parade.
Yep, yep. So the parade was a huge hit last year. People loved it. The kids felt super special. I think people had a good time decorating their cars and, you know, lots of people that just could participate, you know, within the community as they wanted to in their yards or, you know, that whole thing. And so it was really a positive event. So we wanted to keep doing that. Kids and parents were, of course, interested, if possible, to have some sort of live, you know, event that we could. And so again, we've worked through some processes this year with a couple of other events, senior night and some other activities. So we've kind of honed it down to, I think we've got 28 graduates. And so we're going to map out, each kid will get a certain number of tickets and people will be able to have, you know, people within their kind of their family pod or close friends that are considered within that. And, we'll have a map of where everybody kind of sits in the gym, a couple screening stations for people to come through. And so there'll actually be, you know, they'll be able to have a pretty high number of people come into the gym with them. So I think we've got a pretty reasonable plan. And as far as hopefully just fingers crossed, you know, nothing major blows up here in community as far as numbers and that kind of thing. And we can have that live event. So it'll be the ceremony, the diplomas and the speeches and everything will be inside.